Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, featuring
Creepmeister Maximus Whitey Gleason
on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in for Steiny today. Happy President's Day. Hope you're having a wonderful holiday weekend. Yesterday, of course, Valentine's Day. And not to get us off track here, Goo, but something that Nick and I were throwing around yesterday. I just got to ask you real quick. I'm dying to know. We were talking about your sports Valentine, yesterday being Valentine's Day. That is your one favorite player of all time. Any sport, any era, just your one guy that's like, that was my all-time favorite. I went with a guy who actually shares an actual birthday with George Washington, the great Dr. J. Julius Erving.
Wow. That's a hell of a achievement for Julius if he's listening. I mean, that's a big deal.
I'm going to go
Michael Jordan. I'm going to go Michael Jordan.
Wow.
You know, Whitey, I can remember real quick here watching the VHS tapes back in the day, Come Fly With Me, trying to emulate Jordan, trying to be him, talk like him. You know, I had a better head of hair, but that's all I had. Other than that, I lose the mic. But he was and still is my guy, and people are lined up around the mall shooting each other. I'm not using that as a badge of honor, but there's one tennis shoe, and it's Jordan's. Mm-hmm. He created mm-hmm. that, and it's just amazing. Years later, I mean many years later, his effect on swag and just on basketball, he should be the new logo, and I love Jerry West. It should be the Jumpman.
Yeah, I think you got me there because I could be mistaken, but I think, I don't know, late 70s, Julius Erving had like a Converse model sneaker. It did not have the cultural impact that Air Jordans have had. Kyle, I'd love to know.
Pre-internet.
Your sports Valentine, your all-time favorite, whatever sport, all-time favorite player.
Man, that's a tough one. It fluctuates a lot, but the guy that's most commonly in my head for the answer to this is Frank Gore. He was the 49ers running back kind of during my formative years as a football fan, and then he's just stuck around, and he continues to just be he's awesome. Like, he's a great guy. Big Frank Gore guy.
Hey, let me ask you this. Listening to Van Gundy Saturday night, he was talking about Steph Curry, and he was pointing out Steph Curry does a great job setting screens. You know, people don't realize a great shooter, great passer, but off the ball, he does a great job setting screens, which is kind of a thankless task. And when I heard him say that, I was reminded of your guy, Frank Gore, because it's great. You know, he's piled up all this yardage. He was great. He was a great blocker, right? Ooh. Pass protection. He didn't get credit for that, but he'd pick up a blitz for you.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I felt like always went underappreciated when he was with the 49ers was his ability to read blitzes, know where the blitzes were coming from, stand up and pass pro, and then do it well. He's an mm-hmm. underrated receiver as a running back, not a guy you can split out and have him run routes, but he's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. And just put together an incredible career without the big splashy highlight plays that you see from a guy like a Walter Payton or a Barry Sanders.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Kyle. Yeah, I hope you had a great holiday. Hope you're enjoying the holiday weekend. As I say, Whitey in for Steiny and for Dibs today. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe did you hear him on with the morning roast? Kate, Bonte, and Shasky. Mm-hmm. He told them, mm-hmm. you heard it,
yeah.
huh? He wanted to come back.
Yeah.
You think that happens? Or you think that happens?
I heard the main reason he wanted to come back is because he knew Kyle was here at the station.
Wow,
and he's almost as big a Kyle fan as Kyle is of Frank Gore.
But can I ask you this, Whitey, not to take it off the track? Yeah. The Super Bowl against the Ravens, when he got that run and got to the – I know Kyle to tell me exactly what yard line. I'm going to call it the 11, I believe.
Yeah.
Why didn't he touch the ball again? They would have got in.
I know.
These coordinators outsmart themselves, man.
I know. That's not just hindsight, because I was with you. I'm sitting there. I remember watching that game. Run the ball. If you run the ball, you're going to score a touchdown.
You're going to score a touchdown and win the game.
I thought it was a wrap. I'm sitting there talking to my buddies. We're watching together. I'm talking to my buddies, and I'm going, hey, defense needs to get a stop now. I had the touchdown in my brain already.
Oh, that's heavy, Kyle. Defense needs a stop.
It hadn't even gotten the end zone yet.
Yeah. That's rough. Yeah.
That's heavy. 888-957-9570.
Speaking of valuable players, we're trying to figure out here who is the Warriors' most valuable player after Steph. Clearly, Steph, he's running seventh in MVP straw voting right now. Who's their MVP after him? And it's a question that speaks to what's going on with this team right now. I think, Gu, you and I agree that kind of by default almost it's Draymond on the text line here, 888-957-9570. This is, of course, Greg in San Francisco. Guys, Draymond Green's total shooting percentage, twos and threes, free throws, are among the worst in NBA history. I know everybody on the station just makes excuses for Green, but he is a complete flipping joke. He is not playing like the second best player, not close. That's Greg. I know Greg knows a thing or two about basketball. Draymond is not shooting well. That's what's so maddening about this whole thing. You look at it, and he's so valuable, but he's underperforming, which, again, gets to the point that Steph needs some more help from somebody, Goo.
You know what? I've learned. I'm proud of myself, too, Whitey. I hear what you're saying. I hear what Danny's saying about the numbers. But the game is just not – I can't believe I'm saying this. It's just not all offense. His impact offensively to get the Warriors in their offense and what he means to Steph, I used to like bah humbug. I ain't buying that. That's part of the game. But I'm watching this team every night, Whitey. His impact is greater. What about this caveat about Wiggins? He's playing good and okay, just not up to snuff for me because I know there's more. 2 points less than his career average, 19 points a game. But if he was hitting on all cylinders, here I go, Whitey. The West is stacked. I don't have to tell you that. But when was the last time you heard anybody say, you know what, Wiggins might be an all-star? We know the odds are stacked against him, but if he was really being ultra-aggressive, he would be in the conversation. He wouldn't make it, but we would be saying, you know what, Whitey? Is he an all-star? That hasn't come up once because you know what he is like Salsa? He's playing mild. Not too hot. You know, he's just in the middle. You get what I'm saying, Whitey.
I do. Yeah. I do. I didn't see it coming, but I do get it. I think to answer your question, the last one I've heard say that, and it might have been on the station, was Kenny Smith in July or something. You know, saying Wiggins going to be an all-star next year. I don't think so, Kenny. 888-957-9570. Let's talk to Brian in Palo Alto on 95.7 The Game. How are you today, Brian? Are you enjoying this President's Day?
It is my favorite. I love getting up early for President's Day, and presents in the tree.
Absolutely.
I mean, the second best player on the team's Clay, obviously, right? And Clay's not here. Draymond probably is the second best player on the team, and that's the problem, right? Is the chasm between Steph and Draymond it's an abyss, right? And yes, Draymond has value. Does Draymond have a superstar's worth of value? No way. No. He scores 2 points a game, and he's dependent on Steph's hot hand. If Steph's not hot, Draymond's value in the game is dramatically reduced. And so, you know, like, is he a good defender? Yeah, he's a good defensive player. He's not an elite defensive player anymore. He's not. Look at his stats. They're not. So, you know, like, I don't know how this team can be a title contender paying, you know, you're essentially paying two players as superstars in Wiggins and Draymond that are not superstars, period. And look, you give me another contending team, whether it be the Lakers or Denver or, you know, sort of any, or the Clippers, or any of these teams paying hundreds of millions of dollars to players that are okay, maybe good, but not certainly not great, certainly not superstars. Draymond's not a superstar. So I don't know how you're going to win a title again with Steph when you're paying $300 million to, or $250 million to, like, okay, you know, average to good players. Like, it's not going to work. So you have to Myers and Lakeup have to reimagine the roster because Steph is still a top three superstar in this league. And we weren't sure what he was, still was coming into this season. He is a top three superstar in the league. And if you want to get another title for him, you're going to have to reimagine the roster. It's not going to happen with this roster. You add, there's a 500 team, Steph's playing the best basketball of his career. You add Clay, they're better. They're not a title contender. So you have to reimagine the roster somehow. And, you know, that's the question. I don't know that Lakeup and Myers have that in them. Jerry West has that in them. I don't know if they have it in them. So.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1, San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. I think you can win another championship with Draymond, but not with this roster. You're going to need Clay back and then something else, and maybe Wiseman. I mean, you talk about reimagining the roster.
There is no maybe. Not to interrupt. You got to have Wiseman. Mm-hmm. Why do you go ahead? I'm sorry. Maybe.
No, I was going to say, you may need I'm not just saying, you need him. I'm saying you may need him to be that number two superstar. In order for this all to come together, he may need to develop into that player, and obviously that's still an open question.
No doubt. And again, here I go, Whitey. It's all dependent on what you define success. And you could tell me if I'm wrong, but the residue and the pain from the night of the draft for me, Daryl L. Johnson, the first, Whitey, is I will never, ever play that game of assuming a guy's coming back. So if you allow me, in my world, in my mind right now, I'm focused on the NOW because Clay was supposed to be back. And we just assumed, and your heart's in the right place, we all do it, that he was going to be there. So, Whitey, I'm not ready to talk about next year's Warrior team and Clay's going to be there. We don't know. Hopefully it doesn't happen. It almost happened to Draymond Saturday night. You know, something else can happen. So I want to focus on the now, and that's why I just raised the flag of concern about Wiseman. Forget the wins and losses. He needs to be on the fast track to becoming the best guy, big man he can be, Whitey, because I don't know what he's going – is this team going to play up and down? Because to me, thinking about what I've seen from Wiseman thus far, he was more fantastic looking when it was up and down, not playing the Bill Russell, throw it to me, or the Kevin McHale. He's got to work on that. But are they going to try to run to bring out what he can do, what I believe good already?
Yeah, he runs the floor well, and that's funny you say that because that was the first glimpse I had of him in college. I think it was against South Carolina or somebody, and you could see he's like, oh, my goodness, well, he's faster than everybody else. I don't know how good those other guys are, but that was my first impression of seeing Wiseman at all, and he's shown that he can do that. If he can continue to do that and just get better defensively, he can be a huge factor this year, but that's still a huge question defensively. So often he's not sure. He commits too many fouls. And then in the half-court offense, you know, I think they're better. The numbers say they're better in the half-court offense without him than they are with him. But, you know, he's learning. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's got all the tools he needs to run the floor effectively. And if he can continue to improve defensively, he can make them a lot better. I think this year he can make them a lot better. Let me ask you this because I raised a question earlier. Talking about the big three that the Nets have, Harden and Kyrie and KD, of course. What do you think that big three could learn from what the Warriors did with when they had KD and Steph and Klay? And by the way, this is kind of interesting to me. I was looking at all other big threes in NBA history. The Nets, their big three, it's the only one I can think of where not one of the three was drafted by the team. Every other big three in history, like even, you know, Bosch and LeBron and Wade was drafted by the team. Of course, here you had two of the guys drafted. So I think that means they have a lot more work to do in terms of continuity. To me, the number one lesson that they could learn from the Warriors' big three is you're going to have, if you want to win, you got to guard people.
You know what, Whitey? I want to sign off on that. And that is an interesting tidbit. You know, I went to Worthy, Magic, and Kareem. Obviously, Kareem wasn't drafted by the Lakers. You know, so I'm like, man, that's interesting as hell. But, Whitey, I don't know if the NBA we're watching right now, if that old adage still applies, defense wins championships. And that's why when I heard that this three was coming together in Brooklyn, and I'm on record as saying they're going to win the chip. they're going to throw offense at their problems. There is no way that three alpha males this talented on the offensive end, you hear me, the offensive end, Whitey, can't get it done. And that stuff we saw in the bubble last year, and I know it'll be different because they're not there, but it was offense galore. You know, Jamal Murray's, even Phoenix, who didn't qualify. So where I'm going is what I believe KD can take from, you know, his stint with the Warriors, I don't think it's much because Steph allowed another alpha male in his locker room, and that's why we love Steph. Klay, you could call him an alpha male, but I don't put him up there in regard to he's that me guy like Harden and Kyrie. So this is the most potent offense, I know you ain't asking me this, Whitey, I've ever seen on a basketball team, and there's no doubt in my mind that Durant is not just going to get another chip. We're talking about a bag of chips. So what that number is, it's multiple, but I mean, they're not even halfway through who they're going to be, Whitey, and it's already looking like it's about to work. Because I don't know if you've seen what's going on in Boston. I know they're without Smart. Milwaukee just stunk last night. Mm-hmm. But I just – KD, Harden, and Kyrie is just – good Lord, I need a drink.
Well, I think another thing that they could stand to learn from the Warriors is that somebody's going to have to give something up. And this actually predates KD joining the Warriors. But when Iguodala was able to say, okay, we're better off if I come off the bench. Okay, I'll do that. I mean, that really set the tone. And I think we're seeing Harden try to do that now, as we found out over the weekend.
Give him
credit. Yes. Yeah, Kyrie says, yeah, I told him you're the point guard now. And you look at the shot distribution from Saturday. It's just one game. Durant took 19 shots. Irving took 17. Harden took 11 shots. I mean, his passing was incredible. 16 assists. But if they struggle, is he going to be okay with okay, I'm the point guard, I got to defer? We'll see. Maybe he will be. But at some point, someone's going to have to give for the betterment of the team. And it's just something I'll be keeping an eye on. Is Harden going to be okay, you know, deferring to Kyrie in terms of shot attempts?
How about this, Whitey? Harden has shot and scored so much and made an impact offensively in our league that I think he's yearning for this. Like I'll go too short. He has an old saying, Whitey, he ain't tripping. Harden ain't tripping because he's already been there, done that. He knows now to go down as a winner. If he gets this chip or chips, it'll almost be more miraculous than if he scored 40 points a game. And about Kyrie, that was a conversation that should have stayed between them two. And I feel like he said it, Whitey, to get credit for how well Harden's playing. Like, why would you share something that a conversation that should have been between you and your teammate? And then I figured it out. He's such a narcissist. He did it to almost take away from Harden and his passing ability to be like, I'm the reason he's passing like that because I told him to be the point guard.
I know.
God,
I did notice
why'd
that.
Why'd he get over yourself?
Because it's so easy for him to say, you know what? We talked about it and we both decided. And you know what? A credit to him that he's willing to do that.
I empowered him, Whitey.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I have the quote here. Summer's like, no, it wasn't even we talked about it. I told him you're the point guard. And that settled it. So, okay. Yeah. All right. So that's
what
I'm saying.
They got more than one coach, too. Yeah. You know he's on record as said. So,
yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Something to keep an eye on. By the way, along those lines, you know, parsing the way people say things, I thought this was interesting, too. The topic came up after Saturday's game. Hey, how much better did playing with the Warriors make Kevin Durant? And Steve Kerr says, you know what? He's a great player. He could play in any system. And Steph says, you know, we were so lucky to have him. You know, he's great. You know, we learned a lot from him. And Draymond says, oh, yeah, he's way better after he played with us. He's learned a lot more about the game. Now, that may be true, but it's just funny, right? It's no surprise that Draymond's the one that would say, oh, yeah, you can hear him saying things now. And he used to be attack, attack, attack. And after playing with us, he's now he's a different player. I just thought that was funny.
Hey, Whitey, it is, and nobody's wrong in this in this whole thing, but it's the beauty of life. We all are different. We all have personalities. We all have different traits. And Steph and Steve Kerr are more of the same. And then you got Draymond, the alpha male, who of course said, hell yeah, you got better playing with us.
Yeah,
like, I ain't concede nothing. Right.
Right. And he's probably right. Now, as far as a statue of KD here, 888-957-9570. Let's
he
see here
left.
From, the, from the 707. If there's going to be a statue for anybody in front of Chase, it has to be Steph. KD, great player, but he was a gun for hire. He didn't stay here long enough to get a statue. Thank you, Ron. From the 650, no statue for KD in front of Chase, winning or not. Mr. Three-time one-year deals doesn't get a statue. Those are for legends like Curry, Clay, and Dre. Iguodala deserves a statue more than KD. Somebody over the weekend said, Steph deserves a statue. The rest of them, just put them on a really nice mural. And that's like, yeah, that actually kind of makes sense, right? If there's one guy that deserves a statue, it's Steph. Yeah,
and again, I just – Whitey, I don't want to be Tom Petty, but the fact that this dude decided he wanted to leave, you don't get a statue. The cement's over for you, bud. We'll put you up in the rafters, and I even think that's going a little too far. But, you know, act like you've been there, and the Warriors have before Kevin Durant. So that's why I was a bit taken aback by, and again, I love my guy Marcus Thompson, the love affair that was in Chase Saturday. There was too much love for my liking. And I wanted to see a hard foul. And then what about when the ball stopped? I hate that, like the first baseman when they got a runner on. Be mad there's a runner on. Don't be talking to him. What the hell y'all talking about? But that's what I felt like was going on Saturday. But again, he played 3 years with them. Who am I? It ain't that era. But I just was like, it's too, you know, it's Valentine's Day for real at the Chase Center.
I know. Yeah. I really do think you could make the case that players moving the way they have as free agents, the game has lost a little intensity. And I don't blame players for doing that. But, you know, if you go back even to the 80s, and I know that was a long time ago, but in the NBA where you had basically the same star stayed on the same team for years, when those teams played each other, I mean, it was very bitter and aggressive, right? And now players move around so much, I think there's less of that. I don't blame the players and bless them for making their money and being empowered, but I think in some ways the game perhaps, I don't have any, you know, analytics I can point to prove this, but I think maybe the product has suffered a little bit because of that.
No doubt. And here I go. I am what I am on the birth. We are what we are on the birth certificate, right, Whitey? At the end of the day, Larry Bird would have never went over to play with Michael. Michael wouldn't have went to play with Magic. I know times are different. Guys weren't changing jerseys after the game. That stuff didn't happen. So I know it's a fraternity, but it does bother me. And I got to be honest, Whitey, I felt like the Warriors had the mental edge Saturday night because it was 3-on-1. And the 3-on-1 was Kyrie and Harden weren't a part of the Warriors. KD was. So Draymond could tap into him being scorned and what happened in November in L.A. a couple years ago. Steph, the coaching staff, the ownership at the game. And I thought that would throw Kevin Durant off again. Who had a what, B-minus, C-plus game? He was good. He wasn't Kevin Durant-like.
Right,
you know
right.
who I am. But I just thought they would use that as fuel. And yet, you know, the fight didn't get to the 15th. It didn't get to the 12th round.
Yeah,
the thing was over at the 5th.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. Remember when Ray Allen left the Celtics and went to the Heat, and the first time they played, Ray Allen goes down the bench to shake hands, and Kevin Garnett's like, I'm not shaking your hand.
I forgot that one, Whitey.
You left us to join the Heat. I'm not shaking your hand. Yeah,
didn't even invite him back to the thing. Yeah, they had a little something. Yeah, I forget what it was, but he got left off. See, I missed that, Whitey. What's that say about me? Am I missing something in my life? Or no, I want these guys to go at each other.
Yeah, you just want the players to care as much as you do, right? I also remember years and years ago, I mentioned Julius Erving. There was a movie, if I'm not mistaken, called Amazing Grace and Chuck. And it was about a Boston Celtics player, and Alex English, who was on the Nuggets, he played
Alex.
The player. So in the movie, he was a Celtic, and Julius Erving came out and said, I would never do that. I would never be a Celtic, even in a movie. I would never even pretend I was a Boston Celtic. So it's just different now, right?
Yeah, it totally is. And I don't know. I don't like it, Whitey, but again, things are changing. So, you know, I never laced him up, put on a uniform. Mm-hmm. So I'll check myself at the door, but I'm with you, man. We're old school, as they say.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, I do kind of like the notion of KD coming back someday. I know you're not crazy about it. Maybe we'll talk about that. That's, to me, that's kind of interesting. So here's what we have coming up. Steph says the Warriors need to find some momentum and find their identity here. Well, how do they do that? That's next. Steiny Guru and Dibs, Whitey in for Steiny today on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny Guru and Dibs, featuring
Meister Maximus Whitey Gleason
on 95.7 The Game.
And with your help on this holiday, we're just trying to figure out where this Warriors season is, where this Warriors season is headed. It's been up, it's been down. Some of that just has to do with the nature of this season. But, of course, when you have the coach of the team weeks ago say, "Hey, we're kind of mediocre right now," as fans, it's a you get a little anxious, you get a little frustrated. And, Goo, obviously, you talk about where this season is. Whatever this season is, wherever it's headed, I know, like everybody else watching, I saw it all going up in smoke Saturday night when Draymond went down clutching his knee. So that's something to keep an eye on because he says it's been sore. But, wow, thank goodness Draymond was not only able to stand up, walk off the floor, but play in the second half.
He came right back. I was like, oh, man, he's done. He probably won't play today. And lo and behold, he's available. Yeah, Whitey, I believe it was Danny, our assistant program director, Danny Freisinger, tweeted, "The game didn't even matter. The fact that Draymond was able to get back up and play. So imagine where we would be, Dub Nation, if he was out for an extended amount of period of time or lost for the season." At that juncture, you got to just say, this team's jinxed if that would have happened. So you got to be feeling good going into the night.
888-957-9570. Who is the Warriors' second most valuable player after Steph? Goo and I say, you know what, just almost by default, it's got to be Draymond. Some people pushing back on that. Let's see what Robin has to say. Robin joining us in San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. How are you, Robin?
I'm okay. Hey, you guys, my phone, I hope you can hear me. I'm on 3%. Before I answer the question, the original pick three, Robert Parrish was not drafted by the Boston Celtics. He was drafted by the Golden State Warriors. That's the original pick three. It wasn't about stars then, it was about five. As far as the second best player on the Warriors, I don't think there is a second best player. And the reason why I held on so long, because I want to ask you guys this question to piggyback off of that answer. I think that Kevin Durant left because, just think about it, no team in the league, what really made that five-year run great was the Warriors' front office. Because the salary cap is set up where no team, not the Lakers, not anybody, is going to be able to make that run like that again in those 5 years. And I think the writing was on the wall. Iguodala's contract, if you've been following the contract, he was committing strong arm robbery without a gun with that third or fourth year option. KD knew it was time to move on contractually and financially. And I just want to hear you guys' point of view on that. Peace out. Bye.
Thank you, Robin, and thank you for hanging so long. And to your point, yes, I know Parrish was not drafted by the Celtics, but of course Larry Bird was. And that's my point about these Nets. None of these big three with the Nets right now, KD, Kyrie, nor Harden, none of them were drafted by the Nets. And every other big three you can think of, at least one guy was drafted. And in the example you gave, it was Larry Bird. Let me ask you this, Goo, about KD on the text line here from the 408. Guru, did you want to see the Westbrook reception for Durant when Durant played in OKC as a Warrior for the first time? So did you want to see Durant welcome back to the Chase Center the way he was welcomed back to OKC, his first game back there after leaving there?
That's as rough as it gets, but to answer the question, Whitey, no, because that guy gave his Achilles to the Golden State Warriors when I thought he could have – I thought something was up, Whitey, like he was trying to make a statement and protect. You know, he already knew he was leaving, and I almost teared up. I mean it when that happened and he tore his Achilles and you know, Steph walked with him to the locker room. So I say that to say no, but what I was looking for was more of the players in the Warrior uniform to kind of be ultra aggressive, and that didn't happen. Not that they gave him a pass, but that's what I was looking for, Whitey. And some can say I'm wrong for looking for that. It's a new era, but that's what I kind of was looking for, and I didn't get.
I'm with you. I wanted to see a little more fire. And I know, look, they had very little chance of winning that game. There was mismatches all over the floor. I was on Saturday with Covey, and we talked to a writer from the New York Post, and he said the problem with the Nets is sometimes they overlook teams, and he said they're not going to overlook the Warriors because, you know, it's the Warriors and they're on prime time. So I didn't think the Warriors necessarily had much of a chance to win that game, but they just looked like they kind of rolled over, and maybe that's just where the two teams are right now. Maybe just right now the Warriors shorthanded against the Nets. Maybe they're just they don't have the wherewithal to give them much of a game, but I'm with you. I wanted to see a little more fire.
Let me ask you this, in regard to this question you brought, the second best player. And I'm not coming down Wiggins' road. He's averaging 2 points less than his career average. We already
Watch
talked
out,
about
Wiggins.
That.
Watch out, Wiggins. Guru is coming down your road. When he says he's not coming down your road,
Hong
here
Kong,
he comes,
or
Wiggins.
Beep, beep. Yeah,
Watch
yeah, I got
out. Watch out for Guru, the Guru Mobile.
I'm up top. But how do you play, and I'm just asking, how do you play with Steph Curry and only average 2 assists? And where I'm going, Whitey, is they're 14-13 with Steph using everything in his repertoire, in his utility belt to get them there. So if Wiggins was playing ultra close to an all-star, this team might be a 4 or 5 wins better. And I'll say this, if this is as good as it gets for Wiggins, and here I go, Mr. Not looking forward to next year, but if Klay comes back healthy and he can duplicate this, then that would be perfect for next year. But this year ain't that. And again, Waddy, I'll die on the hill of I need more from him. 17 points, 2 assists, and he plays good defense. But where was that defense Saturday night? Not that he played bad. Where was it at Phoenix when Booker didn't play? Where was it? And I know it's a team game, so there's been some no-shows team-wide defensively, and that's why I'm pushing back on that field goal percentage that a lot of people will sell you on and think that that's the Warriors' staple.
Oh, the field goal percentage against?
Yeah, opposing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, because they were, I think before that game, they were second. Yeah, and that's good. It's certainly good, but it's, you know, it's not the be all end all. I will say this about Wiggins, since you come, you know, rambling down his road like that, and you don't even have your lights on.
I was in an Uber. I wasn't driving.
That's kind of a discussion I've had with Steiny on this show. I've tried to defend Wiggins as a passer. I know last year, and it's a tough argument to make. I know last year Minnesota ran him a little bit as a point forward, and he had some success there, and he had more assists when he first joined the Warriors. I think that's a part of his game that he's still developing. But I'll just say this. Well, what do you want from my guy? You want him to score, and now you want him also. He's got to have, 12 assists? I mean, who do you think he is, Goo? Aren't you maybe asking a little too much of my guy Wiggins, who's still getting settled here and is playing good defense?
I mean, he was in hell. We'll call Minnesota hell, and he averaged 19 points a game with Cat. I'm just asking, the playmaking ability, it's not there at all. He ain't Draymond. There's no limitations in regard to his playmaking ability. And these are the keys that I thought could get unlocked putting on that Warrior uniform, Whitey. And that's why he's been okay. Not a disappointment. But if this team is going to make noise like I thought they could and why I predicted 44, he's got to step his game up. And he hasn't done that. He's just been, again, the salsa thing analogy. He's just been mild, just okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not too hot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, from the 415. And pardon my language, Kyle. What the hell, man? Tired of you guys always using Wiggins. I'm sorry. I apologize. Tired of you guys always using Wiggins as a scapegoat. Stop it. The man is playing good basketball. Every time there's a loss, you want to blame him. What about Steph Curry with turnovers, bad passes? Stop it now. Thank you. That's from the 415. And by the way, when you text us, put your name on it because we want to give you credit.
Give you some love.
Appreciate your listening, even if you disagree with this. The whole issue with Wiggins is, I remember before the season talking about, what do you need from Wiggins? And I said, it's not so much his numbers. I mean, yeah, he's got to shoot better from the three-point line, but it's not about averaging 22 a game.
Right.
He's just got to be more impactful. When he's on the floor, he's got to be more impactful. And he has been a little bit more impactful, but ultimately there still seems like there's more that he could give them. And you look at the offense, I think they need a little more from Draymond and a little more from Wiggins. And yeah, he is playing well, but when you look at the team and their shortcomings, to me, that's what stands out. Draymond needs to be a little bit more of an offensive threat, and so does Wiggins. It's not his fault that they're 14 and 13. But as you look for areas here where they could be better, I still see Wiggins, because of his pedigree, I still see him as a guy who could be contributing a little more.
And what about this? I'm going to go Minolta camera. What about the focus? What about the focus that Steph Curry gets that Andrew can't take it? Is it wrong for me to want him to take advantage of the focus being on a great offensive player like Steph Curry night in, night out, to where you could go out and that would help you get yours? I know Carl Anthony Towns was a different type of focus. We're talking about Steph, him getting double teamed, team stressing out defensively, Whitey, on how they're going to defend him. And then he gets that second team run to where you're the Jordan of that unit, and yet I feel like you only shoot by default. And again, it's urgency, it's selfishness, or like you said, just leave your – dude, leave your damn imprint on the game. Shoot six more times for Guru. I don't care if you don't make the six at all, but – there's an impact of you being more selfish and using your athletic gifts. You got more than a lot of your other teammates. That's all I'm saying, Whitey.
He doesn't have the ability, and not everybody does. For what it's worth, I was this way when I, you know, played in high school. If he gets off to a rough start, it's almost as if Wiggins feels like, well, not my night. You know, and you know how the greatest are. They're like, if they miss nine shots, like, well, I know I'm going to make the next seven.
Terrence Ross. Wiggins,
yeah. Exactly. So I don't know. Maybe in some ways where we're expecting too much from him. He is making progress, especially defensively. But that gets us back to, I think, one of the key questions for this team, Goo. And it's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs here, Whitey and for Steiny on 95.7 The Game. Tonight, of course, we got the Warriors and the Cavaliers. This is what Steph said after the loss to the Nets. He said, between now and the break, we do need to find some momentum. We do need to put multiple wins together in a row, confirm our identity as a team, and then after the break, hopefully, we can pick up and make a huge run. But there's no panic at all when you have a night like this against a good team, end quote. Okay, so confirm identity, put together multiple wins in a row, make a huge run. Based on what we know of this Warrior roster, how do they do that?
Get Wiseman back, one. Two, I guess over the break, Whitey, or these next few games before the break, somehow, some way, I'm holding on to this because Steph sounds like me, that light will go on in Wiggins' head and we'll get the more, you know, aggressive Wiggins. I think I'm going to take an L on that. I'm not waving the white flag, but, you know, I got to stick the pole ready, Whitey. Other than that, I don't know if Dre, if this – in regard to his conditioning is a real thing, and maybe he can give you, you know, more production offensively. That's a part of it. But, you know, in short, it starts with Wiseman for me.
Yeah, I know it's a tough question. I'm not sure what the answer is. I'm not sure if the Warriors really know what the answer is. I know what they want the answer to be in terms of their identities, because Steve Kerr has said since before training camp, defense, it all starts defensively, because, of course, if they can get stops, then they can get out and run, and if you can get baskets in transition, then you don't have to worry as much about the half court, and that's not an area of strength for them. But, yeah, and it's also developing Wiseman. They need Wiseman back as soon as possible, and they need Looney back as soon as possible. By the way, the most incredible factoid about Kevon Looney, I mean, it borders on truly, this is truly bordering on the unbelievable. Kevon Looney has been playing basketball for how many years? He says this sprained ankle that he has is the first one he's ever had. Isn't that incredible?
Wow. Like, come back then. Yeah. How severe is it? But if it's the Jimmy Garoppolo type, I mean, the guy can't win. We talked about his battle with neuropathy that kind of robbed him of last year and the year before, and he beats that, and now it's a high ankle sprain. And again, at the end of the day, I'm not saying this is him, but it's been him lately, Whitey. Some guys, no matter what talent they possess in whatever sport, they just have that knack, that uncanny ability to stay hurt. And that's where Looney's at, man. I don't understand it. And they do miss him, but what ails him is not Kevon Looney. And how many times you mentioned Jeff Van Gundy? Let's put that right on the table, Whitey. How many times? There were a few times Steph was involved too. I love you, Chef. Warriors didn't get back on defense, and Brooklyn I mean, when have I'm not used to seeing that, Whitey.
I'm with you. You know, I'm sure like 90% of the people listening, you know, I've coached a little bit of youth basketball, And, you know, it's youth basketball. It's like, hey, we're having fun, play hard. But when my team, whatever.
Did you have favorites, Whitey? Did you have favorites?
Of course not.
I did when I coached.
No. But the one thing that really made me angry is if you didn't get back on defense. It's like, there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for that. It's not that hard. You miss a shot, you run down to the other end. And you're right. And the Warriors didn't do that. There were times when they flat out didn't do that. They get caught in between. I think I mentioned that earlier. Van Gundy quoting Hubie Brown, if you're not hitting the boards and you're not back defending your basket, where are you? What are you doing? So, yeah, okay, I know it's the Nets. You're going to lose that game anyway. But come on. It is. I'm with you, Goo. It happens. But when it does happen at that level, it's inexcusable.
And you know what? I want to throw caution to the wind, too, because we're talking about this Net team as if they're a finished product. We've seen them have some bad losses, Whitey. So when we say we didn't expect them to win, and that's the beautiful thing of doing sports radio, because we were coming up with all kind of, you know, things that could happen, possible scenarios. Steph will never, just going back to Steph, he'll never get this opportunity to play that team because they're done. Two games with Brooklyn, to where if he would have had a 40 or 50 burger, right or wrong, that would have left a big imprint on the MVP discussion. Okay, mm-hmm. So that ship has sailed and left the dock. But Brooklyn is not a finished product. They're not, you know, the 85 Bears are this great NBA defense. So
you said they're
going to
win a championship.
Is,
you got them winning
multiple
championships.
Oh, they are. They're winning. Yeah, and they don't got to add a damn person. They're winning. I already seen it. But, Whitey, where was the other offense outside of Steph? That's just what's – that's. It's almost like that's more of a reality than me jumping on the mic 10 to 2 every day telling you guys, oh, I think Wiggins may do this. I think somebody else may step up. At some point, you are who you are.
I really think that if you're going to play without a center, and right now – you know, the company line is we're fine, and they don't have a center, so you got to wait till people get healthy. Not that you would choose it. I know Pascal played a little bit, and Draymond's playing center. But if you're going to play without a big, they don't have a legitimate big, you have to limit turnovers, and you have to hit, you have to shoot well. And against the Nets, their 3-point shooting, they were 9 for 34, right? So if you're smallish and you're not going to they had 37 rebounds. So, you know, okay, you can handle that. We saw what the Rockets did last year. I know they didn't win it all, but, you know, they played micro ball. But you have to shoot well. And so when you're shooting 9 for 34 from 3 and you don't have a center, you're going to be in big trouble. And let's be honest, it's one game. You know, Steph didn't shoot the 3-ball well. And if he's not shooting the 3-ball well, how can you blame any of those other guys for not shooting the 3-ball well?
And you know what? Now you got me going DVR. I'm rewinding back to the Orlando game where I believe they hoisted up 16 to 17 threes in the first quarter, Whitey. So outside of Steph, they're kind of inconsistent from deep outside of Mulder and Wiggins, but he ain't going to, you know, just live there. At the end of the day, again, like you said, you can't manipulate it to where you don't have that great a shooting. But it seems like that's their course of action right now, is to throw the 3-point ball at their problems. And if you don't hit, you get what we saw. And what, they were down 11 to Orlando before they came back the other night.
Orlando, let me say this about Orlando, because I saw them against the Warriors, and the next night they went up to Sacramento.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah. And, you know, they're shorthanded. And that team plays hard, right? I mean – you know, the Warriors should have just mopped the floor with them, and the Warriors struggled against that team. So give them credit, give their coach credit, primarily give the players credit. They play hard. I guess I wanted to see a little more of that type of effort against the Nets. But again, maybe against a team as good as the Nets, maybe it wouldn't have mattered for the Warriors. I don't know. But I wanted to see them play a little harder.
Yeah, and that's why I got the game on now, Whitey, a couple of times. They didn't get back, and the Nets got an and one. From the guy fouling, the defender getting back fouling him. So, you know, that was disheartening. And, again, all dependent on what you want or what you define. Whoever's out there listening, all the basketball aficionados, whatever you think is success for this Warrior team, I don't think 13-12 is something to write home about after 25.
Yeah. Have the goalposts or the baskets moved on what you think a successful season for this team is. For me, I remember saying on the air, if they could get into the playoffs and maybe win a first round series, I think that would be a huge success. Isn't that pretty much where it is still? If they got into the postseason and they won a series, anything after that would be great. And that's still, you know, that's still on the table.
Well, especially now that they're eighth seed right now as we talk, and they got that 8 through 10. So they would just have to, you know, I'll use the old dice game adage. They just have to fall off, Whitey, for them not to be in the conversation. But if you got number 30, the 7'1" rookie gets some footing underneath them, and the Styles make fights, and they can get you in and outside, I would love to see Steph go bonkers in a first-round series. To me, mm-hmm. that's the minimum, Whitey. If they don't get that, then this was a lost year.
All right. It's Guru and Whitey. Whitey in for Steiny today. Steiny, Guru, and Dibs, 95.7 the game. We'll get back to the Warriors in just a moment here. Goo, I know I mentioned this earlier, and here you got your Cowboys jersey on. I got to ask you about everything that's going on quarterback-wise in the NFL, especially as it pertains to the 49ers. I mean, it's been so bizarre this offseason, right? I don't know what's going to end up happening, but, you know, Goff and Stafford getting traded for each other. Carson, the Eagles want to trade Carson Wentz. They want two first-rounders, and apparently no one's even offering one first-rounder for Wentz.
Hello.
Which is, yeah, I know. It's kind of comical. They're trying to pit the Colts and the Bears against each other for Wentz, and those two teams are like, well, we don't really want them that much. So we'll see what happens. But Russell Wilson, as we know, went on with Dan Patrick and indicated he was unhappy in Seattle, which surprised a lot of people and angered the Seahawks. So we've been entertaining these notions of Deshaun Watson to the 49ers, Stafford to the 49ers, Sam Darnold, I don't know. This notion of Russell Wilson, I saw, I think, let's see, is it BetsPlus.com, something like that?
Uh-oh.
They got odds. They got odds on where Russell Wilson's going to end up. It is PointsBet, I guess, PointsBet.com. Raiders are the favorite at plus 450. Dallas, your Cowboys, second at plus 650. Jacksonville, third best odds, according to Points Bet. Washington football team, fourth. And the 49ers, fifth. Now, again, this is just somebody posting odds. But just so we're clear here, because I've had a lot of names on my potential 49er quarterback list. I never did put Aaron Rodgers on there. Watson I have in there, but just at the very bottom. Russell Wilson, that's not a thing, right? Russell Wilson, 49ers, that's not a thing, is it?
Let me tell you why I believe it is a thing. Because the Russell Wilson, we always think we know these guys. The fact that he threw the O-line under the bus, I feel like, Whitey, when you're the leader, and that's what he is, there's no coming back from that. And I don't know if, and I know you did, you watched him this year, Whitey, he looked punch drunk. And when I say punch drunk, a guy that was tired of getting hit. Like there would be terrain, and he wouldn't run for whatever reason, and he would force it. And he is right. The O-line, he's been hiding, making up for it his whole career. But when you come out publicly, especially now that we're seeing musical chairs with these quarterbacks, I wonder if he's reading the tea leaves, Whitey, and he's like, you know what, I'm going NBA. And I want up out of here. And now there's reports, allegedly, that there's friction between him and Pete Carroll. So I couldn't imagine Seattle starting over and letting Russell Wilson leave. But we've seen, you know, a lot of crazy things happen. And let's just say if he was available, I still think he's in his prime, Whitey, and I would do whatever it took to get him on my football team.
Yeah, Mike in San Jose says Raiders are getting Wilson. Just watch. I know some crazy speculation, Goo, has been Watson for Dak Prescott. I'm sure you would love that trade.
Yeah, it would be like getting Mickey Mantle for Will Clark. So, you know, that's not going to happen. Houston ain't that dumb. But at the end of the day, I mean, we're talking about Deshaun Watson. He's a game changer, and I ain't hating on Dak. He's a good quarterback, but he's far from great. But, I mean, this thing's exciting, and I just bring it back to the Niners, Whitey, like, oh, poor Garoppolo. Let's just say he starts next year and he's under center. The average Niner fan has to feel like, you know what? Yeah, you know, it's that dinner when your wife's telling you what she's cooking. You didn't crave it, but you're like, all right, I'll eat it. You know, but you ain't excited about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
She's well, not home.
Stuff. Yeah. Some of this stuff has gotten so silly that I feel silly talking about it. But this actually makes sense real quick here. Mike Reese of ESPN, and I think he posted this yesterday. He said, you know what? The Patriots might go after Marcus Mariota. And he said the Patriots might be willing to give up a late-round pick to acquire him. I mention this because, according to Mike Reese, Mariota is not the Patriots' plan A at quarterback. He's their plan B. He says plan A for the Patriots
Jimmy Garoppolo. So if they were going to give up a late round pick to acquire him, not a late first round necessarily, but a late round pick, I mean, maybe there's something there, right? If the Patriots really want Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe that's where Jimmy ends up. I still think Sam Darnold, and I get killed on the text line for this, I think if Kyle is down with Sam Darnold, I think he makes more than a little sense for the 49ers.
Hey, Whitey, I haven't heard you say that, and I agree with you 100%.
Wow.
And it's the whole ghost thing. Dude, it's forget, you're a product of your environment. A lot of these athletes are. Matt Stafford was, per se. But Sam Darnold has more gifts, physical gifts, than Jimmy Garoppolo. No one can argue that. And I'm going to say this. Bill Belichick is mad, and I know he is, Whitey, to watch Brady go win one. If his plan, his redemption plan, was to come back at it and you're going to throw Garoppolo at your problems with his injury history, that doesn't sound Bill Belichick. That doesn't sound like the hoodie to me. I would be shocked if he, just from an injury standpoint and the fact that he missed so many games just this last year, there's no way in hell Bill's going to covet that. There's no way.
Keep an eye on it. Here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game. Would KD ever come back? Would fans welcome him? And in honor of the father of our country, we're going to ask you, who's the father of sports in America? That and more coming up here. That'll be brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware. It's Steiny, Guru, and Dibs. Whitey in for Steiny today on this President's Day on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.